That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's a snowy day this 18th of April, Saturday morning here at the Radio Ranch, but we welcome you here and we welcome the men. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Tim from Nebraska sitting in with us as well. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, man. Good morning, everybody.
And thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tim.
And, this is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles. We're the Wranglers. It's a program Pastor Peter set up years ago. And, years ago, we broadcast this thing out at 5 a.m., Mountain Time. And I got to tell you, I like 7 a.m. Mountain Time a whole lot better. glad we made that change years ago. But we do welcome you here. And if you're listening any other time besides Saturday morning, and you might get to, because these messages are recorded and they're rebroadcast. They're put up on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcast Network. And they're put out throughout the day, throughout the weekend, and it'll play again on Monday night as well. And so if you're listening another time, well, stay tuned. We'll give our address to our ministry here, and we'll read some scripture and talk about the events of the day. So you just never know where we're going with Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, Jason, would you open us up in prayer, and we'll kind of go from there.
So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're grateful to be here this morning. We ask for your blessing upon us this morning as we go out over the airwaves, Father. We pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on that helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. We pray our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us, Father. We pray that those that dig a pit for us, Father, let them become entangled in it. Those that set a snare for us, Father, we want them to be caught in it, Father. We say let them be caught in their plots, Father. We pray that as our enemies make an uproar against us, Father, that you just continue to open our eyes to see their plots. And, Father, we know that there's many attacks against your people, Father, many ways, shapes, and forms. And, Father, we want them to be powerless, Father. We pray that those curses that they send upon us, that those targets that they, those arrows that they send against us, Father, we want them to be turned into blessings, Father. And we just pray that you just deliver us from everything, Father. And we pray that we're seeing more and more Red Sea predicaments all the time, Father, from the food that we eat, from this genetically modified situation that we're seeing to the cattle that are vanishing from our land, Father. We know that our people are being attacked, our land's being attacked, our health is being attacked, Father. They come against us in so many different fronts, Father. We just come before you and we ask that you deliver us, that you continue to give us more of that Holy Spirit in our lives. We can see that the actions that are taking place and how to prepare accordingly, Father, as we draw closer to you, and we pray for that in our lives, Father. We pray that we can come to you and just become one with you and learn from you and learn to listen, Father, the way that we need to, Father. We pray that you put upon people to that hunger and need to listen to you and your words, Father. We pray, Father, for them to turn from their ways and turn back to you, Father. We pray for America to repent of their sins as a nation, to repent of their personal sins, Father. And we do pray for that national repentance to take place in this land, Father. And we pray to be able to see it with our eyes. Pray that humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And repentance is the only answer. It truly is, because it's our sin that got this country into this mess, and it's repentance of our sin is the only thing. Turning back to Jesus Christ, His Word, that is the only thing that will get us out. It seems like that we've tried as a remnant every other thing, from writing our congressman to petitioning to joining the NRA or Gun Owners of America to just about anything else. But that truly is true.
Well, we must be on the Holy Spirit must have us on the same page this morning, because I found myself in Ezekiel 22. I'm going to read verse 30. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Well, we always say that we're the ones standing in the gap, right? So, are we the ones that God's talking about here in Ezekiel 22? I would say yes. I would also say that there's men in Australia who understand the Christian Israel truth, who understand that it was through this nation, America, the true J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, that all the other nations were to be blessed. And they're calling for 7 days of fasting and prayer. And I think we go ahead and we follow along with that, and we call for that for our people as well. And it's supposed to start on April 30th and go through May 6th. April 30th, I guess, is America's National Day of Repentance. I didn't know that. I don't know if you guys did. I did know that May 7th is the National Day of Prayer. So, as I was sick last week, I had the opportunity, and I watched some of the Lord of the Rings. My son was watching that, and you know that J.R.R. Tolkien series is basically a lot like what we're in right now. It's good versus evil, folks, and the only way to win this thing is through spiritual warfare, and the only way we're going to have that kind of national repentance and deliverance is through fasting and prayer, fervent prayer. through the guiding of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So I say we follow suit. We call for our people to do the same thing. And when you get hungry, look for the spiritual food. Open up your Bible and read it, and I guarantee you, God will fill you.
Absolutely.
So get ready. We're calling for 7 days of fasting and prayer. I'll talk about it more tomorrow, Lord willing.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, guys, we'll have the phone lines open this morning, too. 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. I know, boy, when you when you look around at the signs of the times, the events, the things that are happening, not just in New York and Detroit, Baltimore, but, man, in little towns. You know, Jason, you were talking just a week or two ago about the Islamists, those of that follow Islam coming in and making their sacrifices right there in little you know, all American town LaPorte, little one light town. And you know, we see that. We've seen how the drugs have invaded every small town. And it's not just big city problems anymore. It's all over.
Well, and there's a big move. There's a big move out there right now, Richard. In regards to, I know I just heard something about over there in Queens and over east there, as far as a lot of that goes. And now they're moving to try to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. That was another one of those that kind of ties into that. So, which would be all these illegal aliens that they're bringing in. They want to let them vote in their local elections. Which kind of brings, you know, a lot of these other questions in, like Sharia law and a lot of that other stuff. I mean, you know, that sounds like a really good idea. Not if you're trying to bring about a godly form of government and God-serving people, is to let all these antichrists in there and let them just start out by letting them vote their way in at the local election. It won't be long, and they'll be voting in all the elections, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, the abomination is doing everything he can to make sure that the mark that he leaves cannot be erased, other than God. Obviously, God can do it. But they're saying what they're doing is they're basically planting all of these immigrants and up to 100,000 a year of Somalians, and they're all Muslim, into the different communities all across the land. And the governors are with open arms because there's money attached to it and because they whore themselves. But anyways, they're saying that these will be planted in the soil. The soil is us, our people. And eventually they'll grow and take over those areas, and that's their goal. If they get to a point where they have so many Antichrist people, so many Muslims, so many people who hate God in this country, infiltrated, you know, in all areas, then they believe that at some point they'll take it over. They know that if they can change America from a God-fearing country, that the rest of the world will follow. Even though most of it is already.
But, yeah, but that remnant, that remnant's still what they're afraid of.
Absolutely. They know their Bibles better than we do. They know if we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal the land. They know that.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Well, and it's no different than over and over and over again. If you can see one thing in your Bible, you see where God's people fell away, God's people were put in bondage, and you see the way that they were dealt with. They were either moved out of their homeland into another homeland where God's enemies were hoped that they would breed themselves out of existence or intermarry and disperse among those people, or they bring in as many foreigners as they possibly can with the same goal in mind. And I think we're just seeing, this isn't new. It's the same thing that's happened in the Bible over and over again, I think.
Right, but when our obedience is complete, that means when we can hear the Holy Spirit, and once we hear it, we obey the Holy Spirit, that's the complete obedience that God wants. No matter what he tells you to do, you do it. And once that's right, God will fight the battle before us. One thing that I've noticed for sure in reading the Bible in a year, from Genesis all the way through 2 Samuel, is the fact that when man did something, when the Israelites chose to go to war or to, on their own account, do something, they failed miserably. It wasn't until they fasted and they prayed and they repented of their sin and they listened and God went ahead of them and fought the battle. And then the victory is assured before we even fight the battle. That's the point we have to get to.
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly, and I think that that's the whole issue, is until we figure out that there's great power in understanding and figuring out that, Lord, I can't fix this. I need you to. And it's a humbling experience when you have the I can do it attitude all the time, which is not necessarily a bad, yeah, but it becomes pride. Yeah, it's a prideful thing. Well, we can take care of it, and God doesn't. You know, we have to be humble before God, and which goes back to what you were saying: humble yourself. So. Amen.
Yeah, here, listen. This is a prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this house night and day, toward this place of which you have said, my name shall be there. To listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray towards this place. Listen to the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place, hear and forgive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're right there, boys. I mean, God's given us a Red Sea predicament, and he's given us the tools to overcome that. We just have to be wise enough to understand what it is we are to do and then do it.
Can't argue with that.
Amen.
Can't argue with that. So, and we really see a lot of that as we read through, rereading this Old Testament. You see it time and time again that God would raise up a deliverer, a judge, a prophet, whatever, and would tell the people what they were supposed to do, and if they did it, well, they were delivered. It was as simple as that. It included repentance and returning to him and his ways, and not staying in the Babylon type situation that they were in. They might have still been in it physically, but. And we're certainly in it physically today.
When did God deliver him? When the people cried out and humbled themselves and prayed and said, Lord, we are nothing.
Yeah. Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14 promises that. It promises that very thing. Yep. You know? Doesn't say when they join the NRA. It doesn't say when they all go to the megachurch down in Houston. It doesn't say when they throw the Bible out the window and embrace every type of sin that there is out there. No, that's the problems that we have now. It's when we turn away from those things and return to him. Return to him. Seek ye first the kingdom, we're told, time and time again. And when we do that, well, like you said, John, the battle is won. When his people return to him as king, as Lord, as healer, as deliverer and cry out to him, he hears the cries of his people.
Yep, and he fights the battle for you.
Yeah. Well, folks, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to call.
It's interesting because I was looking at some quotes, Mortimer J. Adler. It's really interesting. He was a philosopher here in the United States and came from back east, but ended up living out the rest of his years up in Aspen, Colorado, and was one of the founders of the Aspen Society. But a lot of the quotes that he had was, you know, that basically the only threat to, or the only thing that would, as far as like the New World Order was concerned, the only threat that there was to the New World Order taking place was true Christianity. And he understood that very well, and you can tell from his writings that he understood it. It's been something that that he was trained up in, and it's interesting because all the statements that he ever made. I mean, he wasn't a Christian; he was a Jew, and he was a philosopher. He had written a lot of books. Was an editor for some of the big big publishing companies. And was along those lines. When he died, they raised him up as a Christian, and he never was a Christian. He leaned towards Catholicism, but his Jewish family wouldn't allow him to become part of the Catholic Church, and so it was a really interesting situation. But you could tell that it was something that that puzzled a lot of people of why would, you know, because they look at these churches and they would ask themselves, you know, why do we see Christians as a threat? Because for the most part, the Christians had already been taken over. The churches had been taken over. And that's why he always used the word true Christianity, is because he understood, he was a brilliant man, and he understood the difference between true Christianity and the Christianity that we had in the modern day churches today, for the most part. And I always thought that that was very interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it was one thing that it was interesting because me and Dad talked years ago, and one of Mortimer J. Adler's last speeches was not far from where Dad spoke in Estes Park, Colorado, and I believe his last speech was up at Estes Park. And we had a thing, and we wondered if it was the same podium that they were preaching on, because it was supposed to be right there in that general area, and it was just kind of an interesting tidbit. But always thought that that was kind of interesting, and it was interesting this week because. A couple things happened this week. I've met more people this year out of the blue that are reading their Bible that not associated with this ministry or anything. One gentleman that I met this week was a really interesting. We ended up, he came in and we were talking. He's like, "Well, are you doing your Bible reading program in a year?" And I said, "Yep, I am." And we started talking about it, and it was a conversation that stemmed from me having my Bible sitting on my desk, and ended up sitting down and talking with the Bible for 30 minutes. And he told me that this is the first time he's tried to do it, and probably half a dozen times, and this is the first time that he's been able to sit down and do it. And I thought that was kind of neat. Second person that I've met in 2 weeks, just out of the blue, that start talking about it, and they told me that that's what they were doing. And so I think that that's got to be the Holy Spirit going across this land too, because people are being convicted to do that. And I've talked to more people this year that have been convicted to do it and been able to stick with it. And they said, everybody that I've talked to said, well, not everybody I talked to, but a lot of them said that they've tried it in the past and didn't work out, and they've been able to do it this time. And so I thought that that was pretty encouraging.
Amen. God's grace and mercy.
Amen.
Absolutely. That's absolutely.
Hungering and thirsting going on there for the living water.
Yeah, it was kind of, it's kind of interesting. It was one of these days, you know, sometimes you have things happen and it's just like, it kind of shocks you. One thing that I've noticed just, you know, lately, it seems like there's no customer service in town. You can't get service on anything. It's everybody's just been so conditioned to a throwaway market. You know, something wears out, something starts to give you problems, you just throw in the trash and you get another one. You know, and I mean, it's hard to get stuff worked on. It's hard to get stuff fixed. It's hard to get stuff repaired. And it's like everything is so, is made so cheaply anymore that, you know, people don't fix things anymore on an everyday basis. And it was kind of interesting because I had this Ingersoll Rand impact gun, and I've had it for a while, and it was just, it was weak, and it wasn't doing what it was supposed to. It had been giving me fits for a while, and I've been thinking, well, I need to get a new one. And so this week while I was printing newsletters, I got on their website and found a number for them in California, and there was a couple different things. You could fill out this form for a return form, and it was like, I was looking at this form, and this thing's just, you know, like 5 pages long. And so I went back to the phone number, and I called up the phone number, and they said, somebody answered the phone, said, yeah, can I help you? And this was an office in California. And I said, well, yeah, I got an impact gun that's giving me fits, and I want to send it back, see if you guys can do anything with it. Well, she's like, well, where are you at? And I told her that I was in outside of Fort Collins, and so she transferred me to a Denver office. And the lady answers the phone there, and it says, well, she's like, everybody's in a meeting. You know, can I have somebody call you back? And I told her, yeah, that's fine. And I hung up the phone, and I never expected anybody to call me back. And about an hour later, phone rings, and a gentleman from Ingersoll Rand down out of Denver, he calls me up, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I understand you got a problem with one of these impact guns. I said, yeah. And he said, well, what's the deal? I said, well, it just got weak on me. I just said, I don't know what happened to it. I said, it just doesn't do what it's supposed to. I said, I've had several of these guns, and they're, you know, used them for a long time, and this one just don't do what it's supposed to. And he said, oh, man, he's like, I'm really sorry about that. That's not right. He's like, we want to get that taken care of for you. And I'm like, well, what? And he's like, well, we can test those down here. We can test them. We can rebuild them. We can do this. We can do that. And I said, I can drop it in the mail and send it to you. And he's like, no, we don't want to inconvenience you like that. He's like, I'll have somebody come by and pick it up. He's like, I got somebody that's finishing a job in Greeley right now, and when they're done in Greeley, I'll send them over. And I thought, okay, we'll see if this happens. And sure enough, about 15 minutes later, phone rings. Guy calls me up, says he's on his way. He's going to come pick it up.
Wow.
And he drives an hour and 15 minutes over here to come pick this thing up, and he walks in, and we start talking about our Bible reading program, and we talk about that for 45 minutes. And he picks up this impact gun, and I told him when I talked to him, I'm like, you know, this is a cheap $299 impact gun. I can drop it in the mail. No, we won't have that. We're going to have somebody come by and pick it up for you. And, you know, it just, I don't believe in coincidences, and it was just one of those neat situations that took place, I guess.
Yep. Highly unusual in this day and age.
Yeah.
Very unusual. So, I mean, I just had a hard time. I told them. I said, well, I said, I'm sold just on your customer service. I said, that's fantastic. And they said, well, we like to please people as far as customer service goes, and we'll take it back, we'll rebuild it, and we'll bring it back to you in 2 or 3 days. So, wow. You know, service like that's hard to beat.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, well, it is encouraging.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, the interesting thing is when I talked to this this rep that was down here, you know, he says my boss knows I read my Bible every day at work, and he's like, he's fine with that. He said he gives me time to He gives me half an hour at on my lunch break to read my Bible every day. And I thought that that was you know, pretty honorable. He can take a lunch break and have a half hour after his lunch break to read his Bible, and that says a lot about somebody.
Sure does. Bet you that manager's blessed abundantly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, it says a lot about that boss. That's for sure.
Every little bit that goes toward that strengthens the fabric of God's nation. And it's amazing how when those people are put in that position, just a little bit of forethought, foresight, and leniency in those matters can strengthen the entire nation of God.
Absolutely.
Here we are talking about it on worldwide radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I had the opportunity this week to share, you know, one of the men in the office, his father's passing away and came to the point where it was, you know, hospice, and they told him it would just be a matter of hours. Well, it was 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and he'd send out updates, you know, I'm not going to be able to, I'm not coming into work, I'm just going to stay here with my dad. And I can relate, you know, losing two fathers in a week. And the Holy Spirit pricked me, or whatever you want to say, and I just sent back an email, and this went all the way to the vice president. So, you know, there's some risk in doing that. And I just said, well, I just want you to know, Greg, that I'm praying for grace, mercy, and peace for you and your entire family, and that your father would pass quietly in the night. And at 10:30 that night, his dad passed quietly in his sleep. And my boss, who I thought, no way is he a Christian, he said, well, it sounds like God answered your prayer. So it was pretty awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, we got to get to a point where we're bold again for Christianity, and we don't even hesitate to think about it. Just do whatever it is you're led to do, and deal with the consequences. And you know what? I believe that God will protect you. I mean, he has me for 20 years. I'll tell you that, because I ain't back down from my Christian stance.
Amen. Well, and they're just, yeah, be bold. And that's that, be men and be courageous, right? I mean, that we talk about. I mean, we see that. I was working on a deal over in western Nebraska there, and we got all done. The fellow was in a wheelchair, and my wife was helping me in some things like that over there. And when I got all done, he said, I want to talk to you. He said, are you a Christian? And I said, well, yeah, of course I am. And he said, I knew it. He said, there's just something different about you guys. You just all get along so good, and you all smile, and he said, it's just like, he said, that is just really awesome. I mean, it really blessed me that particular day to have somebody do that. We got to talk at length about a lot of things, and he was very receptive and very open, and but the way he asked was kind of like, you know, are you a Christian? Kind of sideways out of his mouth, you know. I didn't, there was no sideways. I was like, yes, sir, you know. And then he perked right up and wanted to talk about it. So, you know, praise the Lord for the opportunity.
Amen. You know, a lot of times when we read the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, we stop after the putting on the armor. But when you continue to read, it's just what you were talking about, Tim, is with all prayers and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to have known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. There, right there, that's the command for the Christian.
Amen. Amen. You know, in 1 Peter 3, we read kind of a continuation of that. What you were saying there, John, starting in verse 13, it says, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? And in our life today, people would say, oh, there's plenty out there to harm you. Is the Muslims want to throw you off a ship if you claim to be a Christian, or behead you if you're in Oklahoma, or, you know, and the Antichrist, oh, they're winning. No. The Bible says, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope Amen. That is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And we have reminders all through, especially in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, fear nobody. Obey God. Repent and return to Him. And in the New Testament, the same thing. You know, who is there to harm you if you stay true to God?
Amen.
Absolutely. Somebody was telling me a story. Guy's kind of a missionary and stuff, and he was telling me the story probably during the Inquisition is what I gather. But, you know, the phrase that all roads lead to Rome, that's not just a phrase. That's truth. That back in the day, all of the side roads led to one road, and that led to Rome. And I don't remember who was the emperor at the time, but supposedly he took the Christians and crucified them along the road, set them on fire, and used them to light the road. And the testimony was that not one of them cried out. Well, that just shows you right there that God had given them the endurance and the strength to bear what they were doing. And what irritated the Romans more than anything was the more they killed them and the more, diabolical ways that they came up to torture and kill them, the more the Christian faith grew.
Yep.
Yeah. That's quite a story, though. I need to look into that a little more.
Well, there was one in, I think it was the Apocrypha, in Maccabees that I recall, and that was an old man. The Romans were, what would you call it? They had a cauldron of oil. They were basically frying people who claimed to be Christians, and there was an older man there, and they were going to put him in, but they were trying really hard. He was friends with a lot of the Roman soldiers, or had, you know, talked to him about godly things, and they were like, just say you're not, just say you're not. And he said, I'm old, and I won't deny my God, and I won't be a witness against my God. And if through my sacrifice more people are strengthened, how can I deny that in my old age? And same thing, there were many, many people that day that were strengthened and lifted up, and eventually that yoke was cast off as a result of it, you know. So we see those, and I can't help but think so often that we think a lot of times that unless we talk to people or we interact with them directly, that's not a witness to our Lord or to our Savior. And the truth of the matter is in the way you live and conduct, you're being watched all the time. And it's no different than that story there. People know there's something different. I've heard that many times throughout my life, not just about myself, but about my friends and my family and things. There's like something different there. So you're Yep. being watched all the time, and you need to conduct yourself in a different manner, you know. So,
We're so inundated that we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all the same. There's no difference, you know. The brotherhood of man, and you know, no, we are different. As a Christian, we are different. We are to think different. We're to dress different. We're to look different. We're to act different. We're to think different. We are different. When our focus is on Christ, then those in the world, they can see that. You know, it sure brings it brings out hatred in some, but you know, in others that are part of that, those lost sheep that are part of the remnant that just don't know it, that are still blinded to who they are and to what they're supposed to do, Well, it's like a shining light, and they see that light in the darkness.
Amen.
Yeah, it's like that
change.
That email I sent you, Richard, with the new preacher that moved to town that rode the bus. You got that one handy there?
No, I don't. It's up front in the front office in the, on the computer, but I know the story. You know, there's a new preacher that moves to town. He's been called, and this was in days gone by. So he gets to town and he's set up, and so he's riding the bus, and he goes to get off the bus, and you ride the bus, it costs money, so the bus driver gives him a little extra change, an extra quarter. And
when he got on, yeah.
When he got on, and so he's sitting there riding, and he looks and he counts it, and he's like, the bus driver gave me an extra quarter. And, he's thinking, oh, that's not a big deal. It's not a mistake. And not a real big deal, but
company has plenty of money. They won't notice it.
Yeah. Big bus company. So when he gets to his stop, he starts to get off and he stops there at the bus driver and his conscience gets the better of him. And he says, excuse me. He says, when I got on, he says, you gave me, too much change back. It's only a quarter, but here it is back. And the bus driver kind of looks at him and he says, well, thank you for that. He says, by the way, you're the new pastor at this church over here, aren't you? The preacher says, yeah, I am. And the bus driver says, well, you know, he says, I've been thinking about coming over to that church. And he says, I think I'll be in there and see you Sunday. And
yeah.
The preacher gets off the bus and he realizes just that little simple thing, that little quarter, that was a test. Not only a test from the bus driver, but a test from God himself. And that
right.
was...
But what did he do? He went,
yeah, go
went
ahead.
Over to the pole, and he said, forgive me, Lord Jesus, for I almost sold you for a quarter.
Yeah.
Because this man's salvation may have depended on whether or not he gave that quarter to the bus driver who would seek the Lord. That's the part that brings you to your knees.
And we get those types of tests all the time, you know.
Amen.
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 And you know what? Sad to say, there was a time in my life where I would have kept that quarter.
Yep.
But now, I wouldn't even consider it.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus, for
amen.
Your grace and your mercy.
Amen. That's called growing in His grace and knowledge, because now you see that that can be an opportunity. You know, someone makes a mistake. Gives you too much money back. And hey, that can be. Wait a minute here. Maybe we miscounted here. I think you gave me too much, because most people, I got that. I'm ahead today. And it is. It's an opportunity to be able and to do what is right. There's still right and wrong today.
I personally witnessed that actually. Someone got like $10 more change than they needed, and they were gloating in it. And they're supposedly a Christian.
Yeah.
And I said, seriously? I said, who do you think's going to have to pay for that $10?
Yeah.
That girl that's working behind the counter.
Yeah, that's making minimum wage, that's standing on her feet all day. You're right. You're right. But see, they that person you're talking about, John, they haven't learned the lesson yet. They haven't grown in that part of the grace and knowledge. Yeah, they haven't. They haven't grown. Hey guys, the phone line's ringing.
They haven't been born again.
Well, and there you go. That's a big part. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, it's Dee from Oklahoma.
Good morning, Dee.
I don't know what you guys have been talking about because I've been outside, but I had a comment and a question on a totally different subject than the comment.
Okay.
It seems like a lot of, not you guys, but it seems like a lot of the conservative radio people are putting down the police with all these different shootings and all, and whether they're mistakes or whatever's going on. But I wanted to point out two things. One is that in every instance that I've seen, the suspect is running from the police. They're trying to grab their gun or their taser or both. So it's not like they're just sitting in their car, yes sir, no sir, and the big bad police officer comes along and kills them. And the point is too, that people need to really watch this, because for many, many years they've been wanting to federalize the police department. And I think they're using this as a cumulative effect to try to do that. And if you get a federalized police department, you will not have a safe America.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's they play chess. And when they cause these things to happen, when they, you know, there's much more black on white crime than there are policemen shooting black men, okay? But what gets the media play? What gets the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and the President Obamas up in, you know, in front of the media? Trayvon, if I had a son, that's what my son would have looked like. You know, that's what gets put in front of the people's eyes. That's what the conversations are about. The conversations aren't about the 600% more black on white crime than police officer even on black man crime. And so, yeah, it's part of this grand scheme, and that's probably one of the reasons, one of the end results that they're going for is to federalize the police department.
Yeah, in Oklahoma alone, in the last week, there have been like 3 white guys shot by police. I think 2 died, and nobody said anything other than the one was 83. And
yeah.
So, you know, the question I had is totally different, though. If America, I don't know if you guys, do you believe then that America is like the new Jerusalem?
It is, yes.
Absolutely.
The new promise
it is, yeah.
Yes.
Where I'm confused,
this is JERUSALEM.
The prophets talk about a return, and also, if we are the new Jerusalem, and we are the Israelites, then where are we returning to? And then I guess it means we'll be attacked, too.
Well, throughout the Bible, I think there's, I want to say 18 times, God says, return to me. And that's the return for the new Jerusalem, is return to me. Because the old Jerusalem, they've denied him from the very beginning. As far as, you know, those that are over there now in that sandbox. And so the return is to return to him, to return to him as king. You know, when you read through in 1st and 2nd Samuel, our people wanted to be like everybody else. Well, we had a king. They wanted a physical king. And they turned away from him, and we've been turning away from him ever since. And so I think one of the returns is to return to him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we talked about earlier. When my people, who are called by my name, his people are not called Israelites. It's as simple as that. Nor are they called Canaanites, nor are they called Zulus. When my people who are called by my name, and that name is Christian today, true Christian, not Judeo-Christian, not when my people who are called Judeo-Christians, who are called Jew first, no, not that. When my people, God's people who are called by his name, Christians, those people,
following Jesus Christ.
Right, following Jesus Christ, and that's his name. When they return to him, that's the return. It's not the return to some godforsaken sandbox over there at all. You can read that, and we're reading it right here. I don't know exactly where the quote is, but he says, "I will plant my people in a new place," and that's in the physical, and he's done that. So,
plus we'll return this JERUSALEM to his kingdom
when we return to
God's law once again.
When we return to him, so.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, if you want to give us a call during the week at the office. Pastor's got, you know, years of pamphlets. Got a couple pamphlets I'd be glad to send to you that kind of points, does a much better job than I could do in pointing, you know, exactly where and what scriptures, you know, point that out. So do that.
Well, Pastor did a great job, but you guys are doing a good job too. And I want to encourage you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dee. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
All right. And we've got another caller. Sorry, just have to call back, 307-745-5913. Still got about 10 minutes left in the program this morning.
Jason, were you, I don't know if you were on the morning Willis called in and said that his phone provider told him that he can't use the... I think we'll probably see that trending more and more, too. Especially as people like the Southern Poverty Law Center and things figure out that there's different ways of disseminating the truth to God's people.
Yeah. Yeah, Willis called back this week.
I'm not sure who his provider is, but...
Well, Willis called back this week, said he's still looking for a new provider, but they he said they classified him as an offender. You know, that's a new word that's really come up in the vocabulary, you know, whether it's a first-time offender or whatever. But he said, really? I'm an offender. And they said, yeah, you're an we have you classified as an offender, you know. You look right there at the phone plan, and it says unlimited phone time, unlimited text and messaging. And they said, yeah, that's true, except for that number, except for calling in like you did, because you're an offender, you're cheating the system kind of a thing.
Yeah, you can bet if it was some smut line, though, they wouldn't say nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys, what do you? I know you know more about this Jade Helm thing than most, Tim and Jason, and I guess you were talking about that last night. But what do you make of this labeling of states as hostile, like Texas and what was the other state they named as hostile?
Oklahoma was one. Texas,
yeah, Oklahoma.
Colorado's actually in the midst of it, but they're not. They're labeling them as neutral, weren't they, Jason? I think.
Yeah, neutral. They got hostile parts and friendly parts.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, north of Denver, huh? Denver's labeled as hostile.
No, the way everything's opposite in Babylon. They'll probably call that friendly down there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of chatter. We talked about it last night. We also had some interesting stuff. We had one caller last night that we were talking about some of the Walmart closures, and there was a lot of chatter about whether that related to Jade Helm. And I'm still finding a few more of those that are... being, you know, closed down.
Yeah, that's what I did the same thing. Found a bunch more that were closed.
Walmart closures?
And it was interesting. Yeah. We had a call that said that they had one closed 40 miles from where he was at. And so he was in his local Walmart, and there was people that were traveling up to the other one 40 miles away to go to the other Walmart. And they were asking him, and they said, you know, what's the deal? Is we just went there, and all of a sudden doors are closed, and don't know what's going on. And they said, and the person that was in the Walmart that was working there told the customer, they said, well, that's part of the Jade Helm project.
Wow.
And we had somebody that was sitting there an aisle over that overheard it, so went over and started talking to him, and. You know, said, and that's not the only thing that they got planned, but it's crazy. I have not heard of a Walmart closing in Colorado like that yet, but all the other places I've heard that they had them.
Hey guys, here's a note on theexaminer.com. We'll give them credit for it, but. This is where some of the stores have closed. They've laid off 2,200 workers. They've closed stores in Texas, California, Oklahoma. Does that sound familiar? Didn't you guys just mention those three states and Florida, and three more in California, Florida, and Oklahoma? Oh, it's plumbing repairs that need to be done in those states. Is what they're saying.
Yeah. Walmart don't close stores. Like one of the guys who's worked for them in the past said. You work at night, and you work as many hours as you have to, but that store stays open. And if there was a plumbing problem, they'd build new restrooms before they'd shut the store down. So
there's exactly.
Absolutely.
Hey, it says here full-time and part-time employees will be put on paid leave for 2 months. Hello.
And they're talking there, and they told them up to 6 months, and they said we're willing to put out $500 million in lost wages for people.
Yeah.
We'll pay them their standard $9 to $15 an hour, whatever we pay them. Just stay at home and don't worry about your job.
Wow. Yeah. Says here, 70 plumbing fixtures in the Midland store were replaced in an 8-month period 3 years ago, while the store remained open. So you're absolutely right, John. I've never heard of Walmart closing stores. They might build a new one.
The federal government is paying for the losses. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and another significant factor in this is that Jason and I found out that they haven't pulled any plumbing permits in any of those municipalities to repair the so-called plumbing.
Yeah.
Damage. Mm. The towns.
Most of those areas all require them to have a permit to do any kind of maintenance, any kind of plumbing repairs. They've got to file a permit.
Yeah.
And nothing has been filed on any of them.
Yeah. You look at Oklahoma, too. They've passed a lot of legislation that totally contradicts and supersedes federal law.
Exactly. Well, in Texas has too, and it's significant that a lot of those closures are like Jason said, we haven't heard of any in Colorado. It's significant that the states that they've identified as hostile or leaning hostile are the states that are seeing these closures. Don't know whether, but the ones that are neutral or leaning, what do they call it? Leaning friendly.
Yeah.
Not so much there. So. And there was a closure in California, too. I don't remember where it was, what city right off the top of my head, but there was a closure over there, too.
Yeah, I've actually been working on a message, but there's a new mental classification if you go against the system, if you... no, seriously, and this is a psychiatric condition that's recognized now. If you... oppose the authority, or if you resist the authority or whatever, then you're classified as under this mental condition. Well, think about what they've done now. They don't want you to own firearms, right, if you have these mental conditions?
Exactly. Right.
So if you dare, I guess what it is if you dare to question authority, then you are labeled with this psychological condition. I really need to bring something on that because that's significant.
Yeah. They've been pushing that big time with the... Department of Veterans Affairs. Huge, huge there. Well, guys, we are out of time. John, we'll have to bring that to us next time. We do thank you all for joining us. Hey, join us tomorrow morning. We want to invite you to church. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. Come to scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video streaming and join us for church. I don't think you'll be disappointed if you do. Well, guys, thanks again. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart. hearts calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move him out, head him off, head him off. Move him out, head him off, snake hind. Ride him out, ride him more, ride him more, ride him out, ride him out, ride him more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.